Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us at the Asian American Asian Research Institute's 2019 CUNY Asian Faculty and Staff Spring Festival Reception. My name is Loretta Chen, and I am one of the founding board members of ARI. Joyce Moy, the executive director of ARI, unfortunately could not be here tonight and has asked me to extend greetings to you and to help moderate this evening. The Asian American Asian Research Institute, ARI, was established on November 19, 2001, which means that we will be in our 18th year in existence this year. It's a long time. We have come a long way and have grown from when the Institute was first established as a university-wide scholarly research and resource center that focuses on policies and issues that affect Asians and Asian Americans. We have established a weekly public lecture series featuring over 300 topics. All of these are available on our website. And we have produced over 15 conferences on topics including South Asians and the diaspora, the power of place, Asian American neighborhoods, politics and activism today, rethinking New York City's Asian American communities, Asian American leadership at CUNY and in higher education, and leading women political and civic engagement. A major reason for this event is to bring together CUNY, Asian faculty and staff, and all at the university involved in Asian or Asian American scholarship or activities, as well as our ARI members. And we're brought here to network and to share ideas as we continue to strive to meet ARI's goals to collaborate and provide research opportunities for faculty with a particular emphasis on new faculty. How many new faculty do we have here tonight? Can you raise your hand? Welcome. So we all have to come and say hello to you later. And thank all of you for coming back year after year. It just grows more and more, and we're very pleased to see you here this evening. We also provide research opportunities for students on Asian American and Asian affairs. We have a few of those students here. And we establish professional development and opportunities for Asian American faculty and staff, including leadership in higher education. At this time, I would like to introduce ARI Executive Board Member Carol Wong. Carol will bring greetings, welcome, and good wishes from Joyce. Carol, thank you for coming.
Trustee Kevin Kim sent his regrets for not being able to come to this occasion tonight. However, he asked that we deliver his good wishes for a wonderful and productive 2019 and the Lunar New Year. He looked forward to seeing you all in a future event. Okay, and our director Joyce said we want to thank him for his commitment for supporting ARI and the Asian Americans and faculty, staff, and students at CUNY. Okay, so that's why I deliver that. So today is maybe 1 month or less than 1 month after the real Lunar New Year, okay? And here I use Lunar New Year is because one of the reasons is when I was a executive member for American Education Research Association, which is the biggest research association involving educators in the world. And I send out regards to all the Asian members, that stirred up a huge response because I say, you know, Happy Chinese New Year, and people are just furious at me. They say, you should have, you know, Lunar New Year instead of just Chinese New Year because many Asian groups celebrate this occasion, but so therefore it should not be just Chinese New Year. So from then on, I think one of the major lessons that I learned from that occasion was like, wow, people, I shouldn't claim, right? So for me, grow up as Taiwanese, it's also very natural to say it's a Chinese New Year, but I didn't realize, you know, the Vietnamese, Korean, and all of the Asia people celebrate also Lunar New Year, following the agricultural lunar, you know, moon as an indicator for our calendar. So that's one thing that I learned. Particularly, so therefore, following the spirit in New York City, we celebrate a Lunar New Year. And instead of just Chinese or Korean, so we celebrate as Asian American in the spirit of Lunar New Year, that we follow traditionally a very different calendar. Maybe our heartbeat be differently in this big New York City that we celebrate also differently. Come to New York City as a setting. I think this is the fifth year that we got a Chinese or Lunar New Year celebration, or Lunar New Year day off from public school. Okay, so Labrizio, when he first became the mayor of New York, when he was elected in 2015, he announced that Lunar New Year will be a day off for public school. And I study educational policy. So I understand public school actually struggle for a long time to get this holiday. Okay. So, particularly many students who are Asian in their school, the principal always worry that the DOE or before was, Board of Education. So BOE to DOE during the Bloomberg time, because education is part of the city government after Mayor Bloomberg reformed the system. Okay, so many schools, particularly in Chinatown, will celebrate the Lunar New Year, and then the student will leave the school. And one year, I think in 2010, one of the school was raided, and it caused huge amount of trouble for that school because the DOE accused them of cooking their attendance book, which is very serious. So through that, I think Chinese community eventually rally around to get together to have, you know, this day as a mark, should be marked as an official day for the Chinese to celebrate our own, or Chinese or Asian group to celebrate our own New Year. It should be celebrated also not just in our home setting but also in the public school setting. So the first year, unfortunately, the holidays also fall on the Chinese New Year day, so we actually don't have a day off. It's from 2016 that we started to have a day off, and this year is also have a day off. CUNY is very slow in responding to all these cultural holidays, so I still have to go and teach that day on Chinese on Lunar New Year, and I was very upset because the public school has a day off and I don't have a day off, and I look at my Jewish colleagues. They usually just take their day off without, you know, when it's Jewish holiday. So I was like, but again, it's a worthwhile celebration also in New York City. This is a fourth year that we have Chinese Lunar New Year celebration. Okay, so in the spirit of celebrating Asian holidays that are very different maybe as we were back home. But again, this is a new way to network cross Asian groups, and it's the spirit of ARI. It also includes not just Asian American, but also Asian institutes. So we not only study Asian American, but also study Asia. Okay, so with that, I welcome you, and some of the board members will share different regions of Asia and how they celebrate Lunar New Year. Okay.
Hello, everyone. Happy season's greetings. I'm trying to be very politically correct. I'm Sambhavi Lakshminarayanan. I'm a professor at Medgar Evers College, CUNY.
And I'm Anne Matsuchi. I'm a librarian at LaGuardia Community College. Welcome. And we've been given the task of just doing a quick run through about the Lunar New Year, although Carol has spoken to this quite well already, so we'll just very briefly go through this. Many Asian nations celebrate Lunar New Year, although not all, even though we all get, everyone says Happy New Year to us, no matter, even if we don't celebrate it, but many nations, including Korea, Vietnam, Laos, and Singapore. And the Lunar New Year starts on the first new moon of the lunar calendar and ends during the first full moon 15 days later. So even though the celebration spans countries, the dates on which this holiday is celebrated frequently align, since most participating nations read the lunar calendar in the same way. And I think in New York, most people associate it with they think about the big Chinese community. So we identify it as Chinese New Year often in New York, right? Because it's one of the most sort of visible celebrations in the city. It's the longest one, lasting many days. It's celebrated with the celebration is associated with a large family gathering, the making and eating of dumplings, and of course fireworks and the dragon. There's a lot of symbolism, including with fruits, nuts, and blossoming flowers. And the other thing that's associated with these holidays, of course, is special foods, right? Such as sticky rice cake, which is also something that's characterized by some of the other Asian Lunar New Year festivities, such as in Vietnam, like the Vietnamese Lunar New Year. Their sticky rice cake, it symbolizes gratitude towards ancestors and homeland. And in South Korea, their Lunar New Year, it's not 15 days like the Chinese New Year, but only 3 days. But their one of their New Year foods is also involving sticky rice cake, dukguk. And the ancestral rite of Korean New Year is also paying special attention to ancestors. And you wanted to...
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So, Carol, you're in trouble again because it is not New Year for... I guess in South Asia. So in India, there are many, many, many festivals that are celebrated. And actually, I think different states celebrate New Year at different times. So some of the states celebrate New Year in April. And I said I would talk about but even if it's not New Year, there are celebrations around spring and harvest. Like you said, you know, following the seasons and the agricultural activities that take place. So I thought I would share with you about two of the festivals. One is from the south of India and one is from the north. But before that, I wanted to mention regarding your experience of teaching while there was a... So one time I had to teach and that was a festival day for us called Diwali. So I went to my class and I gave sweets to my students and they said, oh, why do you give sweets? I took the donut, what do they call the donut holes, because I didn't know what they'll do with Indian sweets. But in any case, they were happy, and I said, you know, this is called Diwali, and they said, what do you do? I said, you know, we eat sweets, and also we get new clothes. So they said, oh, we want to be Indian because we want to get new clothes. And I said, listen, for us growing up, that was the only time in the year that you got new clothes. So you want to rethink whether you really want to be Indian. You get clothes, new clothes only once a year at that time. So that was a nice thing too. It was an opportunity to share, even though I had to teach. But to go back to the spring festivals, they're kind of bookends to the Lunar New Year. So the Pongal is a harvest festival that also follows a solar lunar calendar. So it's approximately around the same time, but not the exact same date every year. It's mid-January. And the other festival that's coming up now, I guess in a couple of weeks, is celebrated in the north and called Holi. And some of you might be familiar, that's when the colors are thrown, and that's the festival of colors. So this festival called Pongal, which people are probably not very familiar, it's very agricultural, and that is to celebrate the harvest. So it's really like a Thanksgiving. It's not religious in that sense. So the special foods, and Pongal comes from a word that means overflowing. So Pongarthi means overflowing. So it's to symbolize that, you know, you have so much of good harvest, so much food, and like, you know, your life should overflow with good things. So of course the food there is rice. I think that's a common motive. And that dish is also called Pongal. So the dish is made with rice and lentils, and that's a salty version. And then there's a sweet version made with rice and lentils and usually jaggery, which is kind of unrefined sugar. But also I heard that in the villages, it's a huge festival in the south, and people just go home for that. The New Year is like a tiny, tiny festival. I mean, people just might observe it, but the real big thing is celebrating Pongal. And also it's kind of, I guess, the custom of celebrating has mutated into cities. I guess traditionally it was a time of cleaning, like, you know, in many places you just clean the house and clean everything for New Year. That is done for Pongal. But also for some reason now people started burning things. So now if you go to the cities, there's so much smog on Pongal day that sometimes they have to cancel flights because the visibility is so poor. So that is kind of a strange mutation. But in the villages, there are, you know, people celebrate, and there are something similar to having the bullfights and, you know, things like that. So that's a big festival in mid-January. Holi is a festival that's celebrated in north, and that is, I'm from the south, so I'm much more familiar with Pongal, also called Sankranti. And Holi is celebrated with colors and throwing colors, and it's to celebrate, you know, good over evil, the fight of good winning over evil, and so on. And also lots of, you know, food and partying, I suppose. I'll stop with what kind of partying, but there is partying.
So that's it? You're done?
Yep. Yes. Okay. So we are done, and anyone who wants to correct me later, I am done. No, you know, done. Very well.
Stay.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes. Okay. Stay. Thank you, Carol and SM, for your wonderful contributions. We are at the part now where we're introducing our board members. That's why I wanted you to remain and stand. You didn't really properly introduce yourself.
Yeah.
At this time, we're also going to ask board members that in the audience to just stand where they are, and we will also introduce them. We will do this by stating your name, your position, campus affiliation, your current research interest or project that you would like to share, and memories associated with New Year or traditions practiced in your families associated with your own favorite holiday. Now, we will start with you and Carol, and then we will go to the other board members. I will probably be the last person, and then we will go in lightning round fashion throughout the audience. Now, this event is being recorded. Don't feel nervous or anything like that. We could always edit it out. And just want you to be comfortable and enjoy yourselves. So why don't you tell the audience your roles in ARI and your positions?
Sure. Yes, I'm currently a board member. I've been a board member for several years with ARI. I joined Medgar Evers as an assistant professor, and someone gave me an advice at that time that you should join this group, and that'll be good for you, you know, for your professional advancement. It has been wonderful to be involved and just to meet faculty from other colleges. I think that's the biggest advantage. And, you know, constantly we try to achieve our mission. And so it's just, even though it's a challenge, I think it's extremely rewarding. So I've enjoyed being part of conferences. I've spoken at some conferences on how to get tenure, for example. And by the way, now I'm a full professor. I should tell you that. I teach business management, and one of my current projects, I hope that they will go through, is to write a book about Asian women business leaders. So, you know, there are a couple, but maybe just even less than one handful, but at the top, but maybe at the second level, there are many more. So just to try and understand, and hopefully that we will see many more leaders in the future.
So I'm Ann Matsuchi. I'm a librarian at LaGuardia Community College. I've been with the RE board for about a year now, and I was introduced to RE as well as to a lot of faculty at LaGuardia from my friend and mentor Kyoko Toyama, who may or may not be here still, but who was on the RE board also for many years. My research is on I've written about the African American science fiction writer Samuel Delaney and Octavia Butler. I also do a lot of work with using Wikipedia in teaching. There's actually, so if you're interested in that, please come and talk to me. There's a big Wikipedia and education community at CUNY in the libraries and as in other places as well. And we do a lot of work sort of increasing the visibility of Asian American and African American people in history in a platform like Wikipedia, where there is huge gaps in coverage because of in a lot of online spaces, but in that one in particular. So thank you.
My name is Rose Kim. I'm a professor of sociology at Borough of Manhattan Community College. I've been teaching there for 12 years. I've been a board member with RE for I think 8 years now. I entered graduate school, and my research area was racialization theory, how people develop racial identities. For my dissertation, I studied the 1992 civil uprising in Los Angeles that followed the acquittal of the four police officers that were charged with assaulting Rodney King. My dissertation looked at how the violence impacted the racial identification of the Korean store owners, who were pretty much abandoned by the city and targeted by the violence. And so I argue that that Koreans experienced a shift in their identity from Koreans into Asian Americans through a shared recognition of violence experienced in this country. Since I started teaching at BMCC, I've become much more interested in the issues facing public higher education. My last book, Women on the Role of Public Higher Education, is a collection of autoethnographic essays of women who received PhDs at the Graduate Center. The essays examined why they went to graduate school and the impact it had on their lives. Currently, I'm working kind of on an extension of that project. It's called Children of the Whole People, Writings on Social and Racial Justice by CUNY students past and present. So this collection has like 38 essays, and they're past and present students, some who teach here now, who are writing about their experiences here at CUNY.
I'm Kyoko Kusumi. I went to Brooklyn College. I've been there for quite some time. And as my name made on the list, I'm from Japan. And my field is community health and public health. So my teaching assignment has been community program planning, community education for promotion program development. And also I'm very interested in healthcare system. I come from the country that the national health insurance is low, and just like many other European countries. And so, and then as you know, working for CUNY, we do have health insurance, but then so many people has not. And so that has been one of the passionate issues. Even though my research is more of my own background of all the people's care and the focusing in Japan, we do have we will custodial care insurance starting 1990. Right?
Yes.
Yes, she's another colleague from Japan. And so this country doesn't have any of those. And so that has been my theme, both through teaching and as well as different research programs.
I'm from Brooklyn College, and you know, we're setting the example for you. This is the what we will follow, and I will start by following it. My name is Loretta Chen, you know that. I come from Brooklyn College. I'm part-time there, but my real job is as a journalist. And my campus affiliation there is in a lot of different departments. I've been moving around. I go there, and I learn something in each area. But also, I've been very much involved with ARRI from the very beginning. I've been on their board for over 10 years until I aged out. If I was, said I can't be on there anymore, but I'm still involved. And as far as my current research, that has to do with my journalism. I just came out with a book that was published last month with 24 other co-authors and contributors, I should call them. I'm a contributor. And I was a co-editor with the main editor, Melanie Bush. The book is called Rod Bush, Lessons from a Radical Black Scholar on Liberty, Love, and Justice. And this is so relevant for our time right now that we're in, because it's about you know, the ability for community to address some of the issues that are happening, you know, that affect our communities. So I recommend it for people. If you want to look it up, it's on Amazon. My next project that I'm working on right now is I'm doing research on Shirley Wershbaugh. I will be interviewing her. She's a CBS, former CBS producer. Her husband was Joseph Wershbaugh. They were both featured in the movie, George Clooney movie, Good Night and Good Luck, the Edward R. Murrow story about the 1950s fight against Joseph McCarthy during the McCarthy era. So when I do that interview with her on March 16th, I think, that will be recorded as a oral history on something called the Listening Project. It's listeningproject.org. You can find that later. Excuse me, did someone say something? Oh, that's okay. Good. Okay, so memories. Because I'm Chinese American, I was born here, but we follow the traditions because my grandparents came here. And what we normally do during Chinese New Year is that the children all have to visit the elders. You know, this is a very patriarchal society. My grandparents lived on Christie Street in Chinatown, and we would go to the tenement and go visit them, and they would give us our red envelopes. We would go visit all of the members of the family, no matter where they were, but the aunts and the uncles, you know, parts of, some of them were in Confucius Plaza, some of them were in, you know, Brooklyn. But, you know, eventually we changed, because as time went by, we changed. We had so many holidays. We have, you know, regular New Year's and Easter. We celebrate all of the American holidays, too, and it gets to be so hard because all you're doing is celebrating holidays. So what we do now is we have, you know, a family get-together. We go to a restaurant, basically. Nobody wants to cook anymore. we give out the red envelopes around the table. So that's my story.
My name is Toshiko Kobayashi, and my apology at the first, I had a brain surgery 1.5 years ago, and I'm still recovering. So if I say something not right or like that, if I speak too slowly or my English is not as good as you are expecting, please bear with me. I have been here for 20 years almost, and I studied at NYU therapy, and position, that's a difficult one. Because I'm not associated with CUNY at all, but I'm here. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
All members are allowed. I do supervise and teach at NYU sometimes, and also because I was an art therapist at the Long Psychiatric Center, which is New York State Psych Hospital. And I teach a resident from the Einstein Medical School. Also, and Japanese culture, like Mrs. Kiyoka said, a weak person, that's myself. And I'm adapted myself totally to American style. And I'm an American citizen right now, and I don't celebrate the Japanese way of New Year at all. But I don't go out and drink at the New York New Year's Eve at all also. So I'm like hanging between And I love Jose Tignori, like when he was assigned with the Christian.
No, I didn't. Someone else did.
Somebody else. That was traditional Japanese New Year food.
But the other thing I want to let everyone to know is that she's an internationally known origami specialist.
Wow.
So she has a big scarf. You can see.
Yeah, but
so she's known.
I'm sorry,
so
I don't want to talk too much, but I developed the art therapy using origami. And I'm taking advantage of origami as a Japanese word. And I don't think origami is Japanese. It's Chinese. Chinese people invented paper. And the Korean people did origami too. And everywhere I go, people do origami. Even in Gaza, in West Bank, and South Africa. Wherever I go. Yeah. And then my research is, when you are here, you are growing up here, or you are from some part of Asia, I would like to know, I'm interested in your origami culture.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chris Bach. I'm a friend of CUNY. I'm a lawyer. I'm a mediator arbitrator. I'm in private practice. That's what I do for a living. But aside from that, I'm very involved in the Asian American community and serving the boards of various community courts.
Nice to meet you. My name is Gamin. I am a Korean musician, play Korean wind instrument. I came to this place last year to present about how we create culture from our heritage. So I was guest performer and we had three composers who present about their work. And I play Korean traditional instrument, but I do more contemporary music, and I have been working with other Asian artists and musicians. So I'm very much interested in, you know, research and all about Asian culture and arts, and I'm interested in collaborate with Asian culture. So I have been working with Asian musicians from China, Japan, and China, Korea. So we have been working together for making new kind of music, because we used to work with Western musicians. We used to make music in Western style, but I think I more get interested in making, you know, new approach to create some new music arts.
My name is Jonathan Lau. I'm a student at Lincoln College. I'm a graduate student studying social work. I'm currently participating in research focusing on the health impacts of homelessness and the microaggressions that people experiencing homelessness experience.
Yes. Okay. I'm Maggie Hajikano, and I'm associate professor of sculpture in studio art at York College.
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Okay. I'm associate professor in sculpture within studio art program at York College. Okay. And my current research is I'm utilizing glass casting and investigating the ambiguous border, both physical border and also personal border. So that's what I'm doing.
Do you have any traditions or memories of New Year's or
New Year's? Always too much food, eat a lot, but a lot of work before the New Year, because all of us cooking crazy before the New Year and suddenly stop. So that's always a tradition. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Larry Tong. I am from York College. I teach media production. I'm a journalist. My creative work is focusing on social work and creative and human rights issues, with a special interest in Asian American and Asian communities, particularly LGBT communities in Asia. My New Year memories, I think I remember, I was born and raised in Taiwan. I remember growing up, we always visited our grandparents in the south, and I always remember the bento box from the trip. So, thank you.
Hi, so my name is Lynn Ann, and I am an anthropologist. I teach Asian American Studies at Hunter College. My research is on adapting evidence-based practices for Chinese families around the mental health area. Memories, we still go to the temple on the first day of Chinese New Year, or Lunar New Year.
Hi, my name is Ruru Rasmus. I'm from CUNY School of Professional Studies. I'm the Director of Faculty Development and Instructional Technology there. We are an almost fully online school, in case you didn't know, and so I work in online education, distance learning, open educational resources, and my interests are in artificial intelligence, animation, and education. I'm not saying I'm for it.
My name is Jing Hong Li. My full-time job is actually in Wall Street, but the reason why I've been keep teaching part-time basis is because I'm passionate for teaching, and I graduated from Berkeley Center on the doctorate program in economics. Basically, I'm the economist.
Do you have research that you want to share with us?
I've been really in the industry for most of my time, but I teach now at Queen's College.
What do you teach there?
I teach economics. And before that, I also taught at Rue, Hunter, City, part-time basis. Basically, I started basically under the presentation by professor after I got my first qualified exam. So I've been teaching within CUNY for, this is like 18 years.
Wow, as long as Ari's been around.
It's just like a hobby. Yeah.
Do you have a tradition or family memory you want to share?
I am originally from China. Of course, and Chinese New Year is the most important festival for us. But my favorite Chinese festival actually is the Mid-Autumn Festival. I like mooncakes, and also I love the season, you know, which is warmer than the winter. I'm not a big fan of winter. Thanks.
Thank you.
I've been a long time at CUNY. My name is Xiaoyue Jin Chao. I'm from Taiwan. I've been at the college for 59 years. So it's like my whole life. Yeah, I graduated from graduate school. I'm a faculty librarian at the group, and I also been teaching. My specialty is catalog, so I'm the head of catalog in college, as well as a scholar in East Asian studies, and especially Chinese genealogy, which is Jiabu. I'm actually a scholar in Chinese genealogy, by many people looking for resources and genealogical traits, and then helping people to do their own research, personal research, and give lectures in many genealogical societies, and giving webinars just recent to 2 hours webinar in Salt Lake City, Utah. So, personal. Besides being a librarian, I'm also interested doing more than just genealogy. It's also have a lot of involvement with immigration, Chinese immigration history, and diaspora, and also overseas Chinese studies.
My name is Jonathan Chen, and I'm assistant professor at Baker Evers College, where I teach in the new Bachelor of Fine Arts in Media and Performing Arts. My background is primarily as an experimental musician, both as a composer and performer, but I'm more broadly an interdisciplinary artist doing installation work, mixed media. I'm also a violinist and provider. Current research is primarily involving structures to guide improvisation that are maybe somewhat compositional, but could have a visual element that does that kind of guiding. And I also do a little bit of animated electronic.
Hi, good evening, everyone. My name is Heather Schultz. I am a substitute lecturer in the Department of Communication Studies at Baruch College. I've been teaching the department for 2 years now, and I love Baruch, I love CUNY. I'm a product of Baruch. I have my Bachelor of Arts in Journalism from Baruch, and also my Master of Public Administration. I grew up in Long Island. I was adopted
from Seoul, South Korea, at 4 months. So I don't have any family memories in terms of the Lunar New Year tradition, but I have learned about the Lunar New Year from my good friend who's a Hong Shoku poet. So I take intention writing exercises and I read books very seriously. So I don't have my PhD, but I'm in the process of applying to some PhD programs. And the passion project that I'm working on is a memoir about my experiences as a Korean adoptee growing up in Long Island, my identity challenges, and the fact that I'm a domestic violence survivor. So thank you for your time, everyone.
Thank you for sharing.
Hi, everyone. My name is Yoko. I am I'm an adjunct lecturer at Hunter College and also Lincoln College. My full-time job right now is a PhD student. I'm in the program of nanotechnology and material science. So in terms of my research, I do modeling for photon wires using peptides, using computational methods. And that's basically it. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jiahui, and I'm an undergraduate student from Baruch College and study statistics. So thank you for being here, every professor. And I really hope that someday, like, you will have one day off for the new year. Thank you.
My name is Peter Tam, and I'm an adjunct at Jeonju College since 2011. I developed a new course, and it's called Chinese Americans and Policing. And it's the first type of this course in John Jay College, right? It was approved, and it's going to be rolled out in fall of 2019. They're going to talk about model minorities. They're going to talk about the Peter Lang case, and they're going to also talk about acculturation, assimilation, as well as the motivations why Asian Americans joined the police department. About a year ago, I retired from the NYPD, so it's very refreshing to speak freely in class now to my students. So my current research is that I want to move to a warmer climate right now, so I'm doing research on relocating to a warmer place, right?
Well, if you help, you don't get concerned.
Memories associated, as I get older and older, red envelopes do not exist anymore for me, so
Yes, so I'm Kathy Lim. I'm currently a substitute assistant professor at Queensborough Community College. I teach French. My research is 19th century French history. I'm moving more and more into researching LGBTQ issues, especially with away from French and from the Asian community. So among the things I really would like to do is put on events with filmmakers, Asian filmmakers particularly, who do LGBTQ issues. I would love to invite Anne Lee. So
right, exactly. Make sure we know when these events take place and where. Okay. Thank you.
Hi, thank you everyone. My name is Su Lai Chang, and currently I'm a part-time student at CUNY Queens College. I'm in the library science program, but I'm also a full-time specialist in the photography collection at the New York Public Library. And so I'm on my way to becoming a librarian, but I also am a specialist in photo history, photo preservation. I do work with a lot of researchers. In our collection, we have over 500,000 photographs, and not just, we have some Chinese material or Asian material. We are collecting more related to Japanese photography in the 1960s, also with art books as well. And another CUNY affiliation is that next week my colleague and I are going to be visiting CUNY Journalism School to do some outreach and to talk about some photographic resources and also periodical resources that we have. So if anyone is interested in doing research or visual material research, you can speak to me.
Hi, good evening everybody. I'm Alvin Oza. I'm from Nepal. And this is my first year in CUNY. I'm working in your college. And this is my third year in the United States, so I'm pretty much new in this country. So my position is adjunct assistant professor. My current research project, like actually in my PhD or my master's, like I was focused on cooperatives and socioeconomic development. So in my PhD, like I did PhD from India, and I recently graduated from CUNY Graduate Center too. So my research is focused on how the cooperative societies they are enhancing the socioeconomic development of the members, especially in the rural part of Nepal. So and the memories associated with the new year is like in Nepal, like the Nepalese have their own calendar and they don't follow AD, they follow years. It called Bikram Samvat. So they have their own month, like we have our own month, like different month. And the new year, it is in the middle of the April. That means we call Vaisak for us there. So in the same way, like how the others in the world, like New Year is celebrated, in the same way we celebrate like family gathering, eating like lots of items of food and visiting relatives and this thing. So that's my memory.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
My name is Joanne Sid, and I am a substitute professor of creative writing at Nagarwis College. I'm a coordinator of creative writing and a poet. I have three books of poetry, and right now my research I'm transcribing. I'm doing a book project on Chinese immigrants in New York who arrived in the 60s and 70s and their relationship to Cantonese opera. So I've been interviewing people who transcribing their experiences, and I really need help. But if anyone here knows, or if you are someone who came to New York in the 60s and know about Cantonese opera, please come talk to me because I'm going to put you in a book. and I'm translating a Cantonese opera to go with the narrative. So it would be it's going to be an interesting book, I think.
Thank you, everyone. It has been wonderful to meet all of you and to get to know what you're doing within the university. At this time, please feel free to take some more food, get a beverage of your choice for a final toast, and then feel free to remain to introduce yourselves to each other and spend the rest of the evening for continued networking. Now, remember, if you have anything that you wanted to find out, if you want to be introduced to someone, if you need help with your research, now is the time to mention it to the group so that someone can approach you. We're supposed to end at 8 o'clock. Right before we end, I would like to ask everyone to have a toast and some closing remarks, so have a drink in your hand. Thank you very much.